while to try to figure out some of the problem in terms of this mitzvah. So the sugya begins on Chavtes and the days, Lam the Torah. But no, how do you know that a father has an obligation to teach his son Torah? The sugya, the Madakim of Samus Benechem. What if the father didn't teach him? How do you know that a person has to learn Torah themselves? The Sibul Lamanakim, that's a pasuk in Parshas Vaschana, which I came to Varim, it says, Lamanakim was some Shmanakim Nasosa, which is really deep pasuk, the favorish in the Torah for the midst of Tana Torah. There are a lot of psukim in the Torah that speak about the idea of Tana Torah, and all the psukim in Shinabu Yvanecha, and then the Baitabam, and Lamanaki Atera Sashem Beficha, and the Shmanakim Nasisa, and there are a lot of psukim that are miramis to the idea of Tana Torah. If you have to really find the pasuk that says, Mamish, black and white, that you have to learn Torah, that's the pasuk in Parshas Vaschana, and Lamanakim was some Shmanakim Nasosa, which is not the mitzvah of the father and the son, that's the mitzvah for each individual. Then the Gemara says, "How do you know that the father is not mechuyeves to teach his son? The sibling madatem, madatem, kosher mitzvahlumo, mitzvahlamim, kosher mitzvahlumo. The mitzvahlamim is a package deal. If you don't have your own personal obligation to learn Torah, then you don't have the chiyuv to transmit Torah either. So the iyun minolam to learn mechayim lemelach. How do you know that the woman is not mechuyeves to learn? The sibling madatem, madatem, kosher chem mitzvahlamim. The only someone who someone else has the chiyuv to teach." Somebody who there's no chiyuv on somebody else to teach them, they're not required to learn themselves. I mean, how do you get their punchline? How do you know that you're talking not mechuyev to teach your daughter? So at the end of the day, it all boils down to this pasuk. The madatim osamus b'neichem, which is the tradition. The Messiah tells us b'neichem alo b'noseichem. So this is of course the mock of the famous din. That in theory a woman is p'tura from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So we're going to try to understand the nature of this halacha, that a woman is p'tura from Talmud Torah, and to see what exactly the parameters of this halacha are. We'll try to take it in two different levels. First of all, just in terms of, just try to focus first on the original sources, on the Gemara and the Rishonim, and then try to see how this plays out, halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh. So this halacha that a woman is p'tura from Talmud Torah, so already the Rishonim point out, it's not exactly true in the fullest sense of the word. So there is a din that's called in the name of the smag. So the truth is that the later post can point out that it's not the smag who said it, it happens to be the smak who said it. The two different rishonim that wrote svarim on Hebrew and Minyan HaMitzvahs, one was the smag, was the Moshe Mekutzi, and one was the smak, who was the Rimi Kavil. They had nothing to do with each other. They both started to say with Sefer Mitzvahs, one was Gavel, one was Kotler. So the Sefer Mitzvahs Kotler happens to be the source for the statement, even though by the post we quoted the name of the Smag. So the Smag / Smag writes as follows, that the Medmar Memorim, that a woman doesn't have to be involved in Limud HaTorah, that means the Limud HaTorah that's not relevant for Halamaisa. But that part of the Torah that's relevant for Halamaisa, so of course she has to learn. So there are more pastors like the Zimut HaSlam HaTorah than about. The Ramah quotes this of the smak, that in fact women are chayav al smik redin to learn those areas of halacha that are relevant for them. So of course those areas of halacha that are relevant for them, it's quite a lot. So that includes, I would say, just about all of our chayim, minus a little bit of krishma and tefillin or something, and that includes all of your adaya, that includes the chayish and mishpat and evanezer. That's a lot of stuff to learn. So what do women not have to learn? So okay, so say the taharas they have to learn. Tap on behavior, bana mikdash. So taharas will also be lamaisa, so they have to learn that also. Okay, so what else is not lamaisa? With the chutzlar, Zerayim is not lamaisa. Okay, so we got Eretz Yisrael, so they have to learn Zerayim also. So that's a lot of Torah that the women have to learn. So the question is, what's the nature of this halacha? Where does this come from, this idea that women have to learn the dinim that are relevant for them? So there is a Beis Yosef in Archaim in the end of Siman Mem Zayin that quotes from one of the Rishonim from the Agur. The later Rishonim, who says that women are required to recite Berachas HaTorah, women should be saying Berachas HaTorah in the morning, even though one would have thought that women don't have to say Berachas HaTorah, because since they're Pturos from Talmud Torah, so therefore they don't have to say Berachas HaTorah. So the Agur says that that's not true. That women should be saying Berachas HaTorah in the morning. Why is that? So one of the reasons that the other writes is he quotes the Snach and says, but since the Snach says that women are chayavos, to learn for Shabbos, kashrus, tas mishpacha, brachas, yom tiv, etc., some are made of the chayavos in Talmud Torah to some extent. Maybe they're not mechayavos to learning shneinoks in the palace, maybe, but some of the other parts of Torah they are mechayavos to learn. So since they're mechayavos to learn that part of Torah, so the name of there, it's appropriate for them to be saying birchas hatorah. That's the way that they say it quotes in the name of the Yehovah. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Mem Zayin Aruch HaYim Paskin, that Noshim Aruch is birchas hatorah. And the reason is because of, one of the reasons is at least based on the Sma. So the question is, how do we understand this statement of the Avur, and how do we understand this whole statement of the Sma? What's this all about? Where does this come from, this sphere for women to learn the mitzvahs that are relevant for them? And how does this play out in terms of birchas hatorah? So there appears to be a major, major machlokes in the Gedolei Acharonim, which we're going to present as a machlokes between the Beis Halevi and the Bir Halacha. Okay, it's a little bit confusing, those who ever read my notes, because usually my Rashi tables for both Bir Halacha and Beis Halevi are the same, Beis Yilam, Lamed. So that's why if you ever want to get look at the original, so this time I'd have to spell it out, who's saying what. So it appears, the Phineas deity, it appears to be a machlokes, the Beis Halevi and the Bir Halacha. Just what exactly is this auger all about, and what exactly is this this whole fear for women to learn the mitzvahs of themselves? What's this all about? So the Beis Halevi, who I'd say is in a certain sense the more mechuyish of Pshat, the Beis Halevi starts out with a hanocha. His hanocha is, it's not such a wild hanocha, it's a Gemara Kedushin of Chavtes and Mevez. His hanocha is that it's impossible for anybody to say that women are chayavos in Talmud Torah. He says it's a pasuk in Chumash. Finished end of discussion. So the chiyuv of the mitzvahs Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is a mitzvah in and of itself, one of the tired mitzvahs. It's not shayach that anybody should ever be mechayev women. And there's no way you could say that a person is chayev in Talmud Torah, part of the Torah, not chayev in the other part of the Torah. Talmud Torah is a yunt, is a mitzvah. So the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is no more kol Torah kulos. Either you're chayev in the whole picture, you're not chayev in the whole picture. You know, that's such a story. You're chayev in half of the mitzvah. What exactly does it mean that, what did the Smak mean when he said that women are supposed to be learning the din that are relevant to them? So the Beis Halevi says that there are really two different reasons why we learn Torah. So there's one reason, the primary reason why we learn Torah, is because there's a mitzvah. Talmud Torah, it's one of the Torah mitzvahs. The same way we put on tefillin every day, the same way we said the sukkah and sukkahs, we blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So one of the Torah mitzvahs is to learn Torah. It says to the Beis Halevi, there's another totally different reason why we learn Torah. And one could have even envisioned, let's say there wouldn't have been a mitzvah Talmud Torah. We would see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have only given us 612 mitzvahs. So says the Beis Halevi, hayitochein, that we wouldn't be required to learn Torah. What does that mean exactly? Says the Beis Halevi, we're required to learn Torah because we're part of doing a mitzvah requires a certain preparation. It means, let's say a person, Lamashal decides he's not going to build the sukkah. He comes the first night of sukkah, and he walks outside and top, by golly, there's no sukkah there. So what exactly is he mevatel? He doesn't have a sukkah, so what do you want from him? So the answer is that when the Torah says sukkah station should be yom, it's self-evident that you have to build the sukkah. It's obvious you have to build the sukkah because part of the preparation of having doing the mitzvah of yishuv b'sukkah is to build yourself a sukkah. The chahena, all mitzvahs, there's an idea of machshirah mitzvah. So the Torah doesn't have to spell out to do machshirah mitzvah. You can figure it out. Seichel Yosha dictates, of course you have to do machshirah mitzvah. If you don't do the machshirah, so you're not going to have the mitzvah available for you. In fact, there's a mitzvah, there's a contemporary of the Beis Halevi, the Korosh Shiv of the Beis Halevi, that the mitzvah points out at the end of his parish at the Shultos, that there are really two different types of machshirah mitzvah. That there are some machshirah mitzvah which are written in the Chumash itself, where the Torah goes out of its way to mention the machshirah mitzvah, and there are other machshirah mitzvah which are not written in the Chumash itself. Let's say the Mashal. When it comes to the machshirah mitzvah of sukkah, so the tzib claims that is written in the chumash because it says chag sukkos tasa lecha. So the Gemara derives the Masechet Sukkah that the phrase tasa lecha means asiyas sukkah. It doesn't just mean to celebrate sukkah; it means the actual building of the sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah kosher b'Torah. Whereas other hechsher mitzvahs, let's say to blow shofar, so the fact that you have to get an animal, get a shofar off it, the fact you have to go to the store and buy a separate shofar, it doesn't say that in the Chumash. That's self-evident. You're true yelochem, so if you don't have a shofar, you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. So the Netziv develops a whole Shkita Torah that there are two different levels of machshirah mitzvah. There's some machshirah mitzvah that the Torah goes out of its way to bother to record, and then there are other machshirah mitzvah that the Torah doesn't go out of its way to bother to record, but it's self-evident that you have to do them. Might not mean that sometimes the Torah mentions them and sometimes the Torah doesn't. So the Tziv says, "Achapsi nafkemina." That when it comes to mitzvahs, so you're supposed to do mitzvahs yourself. We said, you're not supposed to delegate a mitzvah to somebody else. L'chatchila. Even mitzvahs where shlucha supplies, that's only a bidiyad. L'chatchila, mitzvah v'yosef v'bishlucha. So it says in the Tziv, what about machshirei mitzvah? Is there an inyan to build my own sukkah? Is there an inyan to cut my own horn of an animal to make my own shofar? So here the Tziv distinguishes between different levels of machshirei mitzvah. Machshirei mitzvah that the Torah goes out of its way to record, so that shows that the Torah is machshir, those machshirei mitzvah. So they take on a category, like so to speak, like a mitzvah itself. And on those machshirei mitzvah, so mitzvah b'yaisen b'shulucha. Machshirei those other kinds of machshirei mitzvah that the Torah doesn't bother to talk about, those are just self-evident that you have to do. So alei alone ma mitzvah b'yaisen b'shulucha. That's why the Tziv claims that l'chatchil is supposed to build your own sukkah. You're not supposed to ask somebody to build a sukkah for you. Or the chetchili is supposed to make your own tzitzis. Tzitzis also, it says kedil and pas alecha, and pas alecha. The Gemara interprets to mean that's the hatalas achutin, that the putting the strings into the hole, the tying the knots. That's the asiyas tzitzis. So that's a hechshir mitzvah kasa b'toyros. That's the mitzvah's chumra. The chetchili not supposed to buy a pre-made pair of tzitzis. The chetchili is supposed to buy the bag. It's supposed to buy the strings. He's supposed to attach the strings. If you know how to do it, he's supposed to attach the strings to the bag. But the everyday yotze without that. So the chetchila, else to fulfill the mitzvah of gedil and pas, you should really make the tzitzis yourself. Hashem came by shofar, other achshirei mitzvah. There's no need to do that. To do that, the chetchila. So again, so the idea that achshirei mitzvah exists in halacha, sometimes it's beferish and sometimes it doesn't need it to be beferish. It's obvious, of course, you have to do the achshirei mitzvah. So the Beis Halevi says that even if one could have fathomed for a moment in our wildest imagination that there wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the Chumash, one still would have had to learn Torah. Why? Because learning Torah enables you to do the mitzvah properly. The Torah says there's a mitzvah sitting in the sukkah. So the same way that you have to build the sukkah, how do you know what a sukkah is? How do you know what's a kosher sukkah? So if you don't learn a sukkah, you're not going to know how to build a kosher sukkah. Or if you don't learn a sukkah, you're not going to know how much chal you have to eat in the sukkah the first night. Kahena v'kahena. So the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Shemir Shabbos. It's sasikum malacha. So how in the world did you know how to fulfill that mitzvah if you don't go ahead and you learn the Sefer Shabbos? If you don't learn the Sefer Shabbos, so how in the world did you know how to fulfill that mitzvah properly? So it says the Beis Halevi, there's a chiyuv to learn Torah not only out the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's a chiyuv to learn Torah out the hechsher mitzvah of each and every given mitzvah that the Torah gives us. So there really is a classic brisk of art, as the Beis Halevi was pre-brisk, he was the time's father, but his name didn't say brisk of Torah. So the Beis Halevi says that there are two dinim in Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, as a mitzvah in and of itself, and then there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a hechsher mitzvah, l'kayim other mitzvahs. So says the Beis Halevi, that's what the smack was driving at. That's what the din is when we say that women are chayavos in Talmud Torah. What it means is like this. The mitzvah b'fnei atzma of Talmud Torah, the chiyuv to learn Talmud Torah kula that men have, that's the sugin kedushin chafes mebeis that starts as a mitzvah sa'avol abein and then continues with ma'atim osam, ushma'atim rasosam. All the psukim that speak about Talmud Torah as an independent mitzvah, that mitzvah was only given to men. That's the gzeres hakas of b'neichem lo b'neisechem. But the second aspect of Talmud Torah, which is not the mitzvah Talmud Torah per se, but that's the hechsher mitzvah of all other mitzvahs. So of course women have that. So that's what the smart said. Any mitzvah that a woman has, any mitzvah that she's mechuyevus in, the meila she has to learn the dinim that are relevant to that mitzvah. The same way that, let's say, she has the mitzvah of chivas matzah. So if she doesn't get herself a piece of matzah before the Seder, she won't be able to the mitzvah. So she doesn't learn mishabur, ilchus Pesach, about how much matzah to eat, how you eat the matzah, so she's not going to fulfill the mitzvah properly. So that's the nature of achiyah. It says the Beis Halevi, it's not a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, it's a chiyuv of hechsher mitzvah. We're going to see. We're going to see. The Beis Halevi has a critique on that sheet. He's very vehemently opposed to that understanding. We'll get to this.
Huh?
Give him four verses. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. He laid the groundwork for this. So now the Beis Halevi is a little bit in a problem because he develops this whole Shtibul Torah that there really is no mitzvah Talmud Torah for women in any shape or form in terms of the mitzvah Talmud Torah per se. So now we've bottom the kasha. So how do you understand the ogre that the Beis Yosef quotes? That the ogre says that based on the smach, who mentioned recite Birchas HaTorah, the Birchas HaTorah is a bracha that's recited in the midst of Tama Torah. It's not a bracha. You don't recite a bracha machshir mitzvah. Before you build a sukkah, you don't make a bracha. Before you bake matzahs, you don't make a bracha. Before you buy a shelf, you don't make a bracha. So if the whole mitzvah, quote unquote, the mitzvah of Tama Torah of women, is limited to the second aspect of machshir mitzvah, so what in the world is the Ogre talking about? How can we invoke the smach and say that based on the smach, women can make Birchas HaTorah? The smach itself is not a kash. The smach itself, we can't tell. Maybe the basic lady is right. But the Ogre and the Beis Yosef's extrapolation of using this smach to defend the practice that women should recite Birchas HaTorah, so the Beis HaLevi L'chair is very problematic. So the Beis HaLevi is misyachis to that, and it gives you a whole razzle-dazzle loop shot in this Beis Yosef and this Ogre. Says the Beis HaLevi, what the Beis Yosef and the Ogre are really saying is as follows. So if you look at that Ogre, which I put on the Mamakos, right there, the Beis Yosef? So the Ogre starts out by saying that, should women be reciting Birchas HaTorah now? So even though women are pturas from Talmud Torah, maybe they could still recite Birchas HaTorah. Why? So we know there's a famous machlokes, something we'll talk about a little bit more in the Daf Lamed Aleph, where it really comes up in Kedushin. The famous machlokes in Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam about a mitzvah that a woman is pturah from, can she volunteer to recite a bracha b'sheir kiddushanu mitzvayis mitzivanu before she does that mitzvah? So let's say the mashal is ma'isim b'chalinayim, let's say a woman sits in the sukkah, a woman shakes a lulav, so she's clearly pturah from those mitzvahs. Should she volunteer to recite the bracha or not? So Rabbeinu Tam says that she may volunteer. Rabbeinu Tam says, and again, we'll see what the Mekarios, what the Raya's Rabbeinu Tam are. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though she's not a Mechuyevus B'davar, but we have a klal of Gadol HaMetzuvah V'yoseh, Mimisha Eini Metzuvah V'yoseh. And one who is Mechuyev in a mitzvah is a greater Kiyam HaMitzvah. But it doesn't mean that one who's not Mechuyev is a nothing. It means Gadol HaMetzuvah V'yoseh, Mimisha Eini Metzuvah V'yoseh. But the Eina Mitzvah is still something. It's still considered to be a Ma'aseh Mitzvah. So that's enough of a Ma'aseh Mitzvah to warrant reciting a bracha. The famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes in his tzitzis that if a woman recites a bracha on a mitzvah she's pure from, that's an absolute bracha of Atalah. You can only recite a bracha to the Shal Mitzvah Tzivanu to be Mamash Mechuyev in the mitzvah. The fact that you may get a Kima Mitzvah, your Eina Mitzvah, whatever the gather halacha of women doing mitzvah seishas b'agra, which again, hopefully we'll talk about as we continue the sugyas in Kedushin. So the Rambam holds that's not sufficient to warrant reciting a bracha. The machlekes, really machlekes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. We of course know that the Shulchan Aruch and the Sfaradim follow the Rambam in this, and the Sfaradim do not recite the brachas before mitzvahs that they volunteer, and the Ashkenazim is by and large do. The usual mitzvahs that this comes up doesn't come up with that many mitzvahs, it comes up with a handful of mitzvahs by you. It comes up, they're only handful of mitzvah seishas b'agram altogether, and some of the mitzvah seishas b'agram, so we shy away from women doing it. We recommend that women don't put on tzitzis, we recommend that women don't put on tefillin, and hopefully we'll talk about these also as we go on. So there are a handful of mitzvah seishas b'agram that women generally volunteer to do. So the two most famous ones are lulav and sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch says you don't make a bracha, and the Ramah says that you do. There's another one also, the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, but that's usually not so relevant. Because tekiyah shofar, usually the woman's in shul, so she's going to hear that, when was the last time you ever made a bracha on tekiyah shofar? You hear the bracha from the Baal Tekeah, but it does cop an afkamin, it's interesting, shad comes up. The post can say that, let's say a person comes late to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and they miss the bracha of tekiyah shofar, they miss the first set of tekiyahs, the tekiyahs to miyushav, and now they're holding mechazos hashatz, and the Baal Tekeah is about to start to blow again, so the post can say, the person who missed the bracha first has to make a bracha, because he's going to be yotzei, he's chi of their eyes at Kiyah Shofar right now, so he has to make a bracha of the Shema Kol Shofar right before the Baal Tekeah starts blowing the second rounds of tekiyahs. So the Tosfos can say the same is true for a woman. Yeah, if a woman comes, that's more often than not. Usually it's not the men who come late. Hopefully it's the women who sometimes come late to Shulam of Shoshana, they bring the tapu of the kids, and they walk in and they tap and miss the Kiyah Shofar. So they can hop around, they'll hear the Kiyah Shofar during the Chazaras HaShatz. So the Tosfos can say that the woman should tap and recite a bracha of the Shema Kol Shofar right before the Baal Tekeah gets to the first Kiyas of the Mumbad, so the woman should recite quietly to herself the bracha of the Shema Kol Shofar. Again, according to the Rambam, we wouldn't do that, but according to the Ashkenazi, we would follow the Rambam, follow Rabbeinu Tam, so you should do that. It's a nice Yishra Kafaya. Several years ago, my wife was one of those unfortunate women who came late to Kiyas Shofar, and she missed the Kiyas from the Yishov. So I didn't know what was going on, it was in the men's section. So in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, my daughter came running in, 4 or 5 years old at the time, came running in on the top of her lungs, screamed out, and he goes, Abba, Ima wants to know, is she supposed to make the bracha on the shofar now, because they're going to start to blow the shofar again. So the whole shul had to know, and my wife came late. So I said, I didn't say yes, because I'm not supposed to talk, but I nodded, yeah, good. So she ran back. 2 seconds later, she comes running back in again, my shliach nemon, she says, Ima wants to know, is she supposed to say shechianu on... Because it was the second day. So she's supposed to say Shechiyonu. So this was already a very hot political issue in my shul. Because there was a machlokes harishonim, whether you say Shechiyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Tikkei Shavar, because technically you were Yotze already in the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah already yesterday. On the other hand, when it comes to Sveik of the Yom, so we always repeat the Shechiyonu, Shalom Levayish, Yom Tov Sheni. So let's say when you make Kiddush on the second night of Pesach, we say Shechiyonu again. You say Kiddush on the second night of Shavuot, so you say Shechiyonu again. So some Rishonim said that, no, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you don't say a second Shechiyonu, because it's like Yom HaRichta. So it's the Takanas Achav, the formulation of the Takan of Rosh Hashanah was that it's one long day, so then you say Shechiyonu twice. So you have to say one Shechiyonu on the first day, and that's obviously for the second day. So some Rishonim say you don't say Shechiyonu on the second day, neither by Kiddush nor by Tikkei Shofar. And other Rishonim, most of the Rishonim say that you do. That's where the source of the minute comes, to take in the food or the clothing or something, by Kiddush. So that was a machlokes of Rishonim. So Ruba of Klal Yisrael today recites Shechiyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even without a new fruit, without new clothes, bein by Kiddush, bein by Tikkei Shofar. But there are some who follow the minute. I think I grow, if I'm not mistaken, there are some who don't do that, who don't recite Shechiyonu on the second day of Tikkei Shofar. So punk in my shul, that was the minute that I had been found my shul, so my last shul. So the old minig was that they didn't say Shechiyonu on the second day. But what happened was, it's over the years, so some people were complaining that they had come from places where they did say Shechiyonu, said they felt bad. So the Rav who was there before me, so started the following minig. I'm not sure I would have started this minig, but it was started right before me, so I just kept it in place. They started the minig like this, that the Baal Fakeya followed the official minig of the shul, not to say Shechiyonu. But on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, after he finished saying the Shema Kol Shofar, he would pause for 2-3 seconds. Anyway, you pause till the rabbi says the word Tkia. So for those 2-3 seconds, he would pause an extra second, and whoever wanted to recite Shechiyonu quietly had the right to do so. Kacha, but that was the minig in my shul. What they do now, Chesdish. That was the minig in at the time. So here my daughter screams at the top of her lungs. So. What should I tell you about to do? Should I tell her to say Shechiyonu? So dish mama myself all those years. So I didn't have to tell anyone what I was doing. So everyone paused. So I put my hands up. I call. I tell you now, of course I said Shechiyonu like everybody else does. But I didn't have to announce it. Now I'm ready that I was saying Shechiyonu. So now this was crunch time. So I had everyone, the whole show was looking at me for the nod. Which way am I going to go? So I gave the nod. I gave the green light to say Shechiyonu. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So we have a machlekes harishonim where the women who volunteer to do mitzvahs to get tours from, should they say a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu or not? So the Ogur starts out by saying, if you think about it, Talmud Torah is the same as mitzvahs. So maybe the same way that the Ogur was an Ashkenazi, so the same way that we follow the Rambam, and we make brachas, and we let our wives make brachas for the Tilsumba, and she would Nasukba, and there's Ola maybe, and other mitzvahs that we maybe let our wives make brachas on. So we should let them say Birchas HaTorah also. So the Ogre spots out by saying, maybe women are not chayyavos in Birchas HaTorah, maybe they're pturos in Birchas HaTorah, but if they want, they can volunteer. The same way they can volunteer to make a bracha on the Tikkun Lulav, they can volunteer to make a bracha on the Birchas HaTorah. So that's how the Ogre starts. So the Ogre takes a step back, and he says, no, that's not such a smara, because when do we encourage or at least permit women to make brachas and mitzvot that they're pturos from? Those are neutral mitzvahs which don't have any problem involved in doing. There's nothing wrong with women shaking the loop, nothing wrong with the woman hearing shayif, nothing wrong with the woman sitting in the sukkah. But Liman HaTorah, not so posh that women even know how to learn Torah. That's the second half of the sukkah we will get to. The famous Gemara in the second sukkah, which we'll have to figure out what exactly that means. Hopefully, Kol HaMalamed is Bito Torah, Kiv Malam the Tiflus, that Chazal looked down in a certain sense. There was a certain looking down towards women learning Torah, at least in whatever context Chazal was talking about, which again we'll see hopefully as we go on. So the Ogre says that we can't recommend so quickly for women to say Birchas HaTorah because they're pturos from Talmud Torah, and not only they're pturos from Talmud Torah, maybe they shouldn't even be learning Torah. So the Ogre gets himself into a corner. And he says that women should be, it's a good idea, let women volunteer to say, Bechsera, Lama Lo, why is it different than Lulav? And then he takes a step back and says, no, maybe it is different than Lulav. And then, after that, he quotes the Smack, and he says, oh, by the way, the Smack says, women are chayyavos to learn Torah. So the Beis Lady says, what the Ogre meant to say was as follows, that by quoting the Smack, he's not giving you an independent reason why women should be reciting Bechsera Torah, he's merely offsetting the objection that he himself raised. Because he started out by saying, we have no qualms with women reciting Birkas HaTorah, because let them say Birkas HaTorah, Lam alone, they're volunteering, the same way they volunteer on a Lulav and Sukkah. So he took a step back and says, no, not so good, not a good dinim, because in Talmud Torah there's some kind of an Isser involved. So no, to that objection, he brings the Smack in, and he says, well, it's true that maybe Kilim Alam do Tiflos, but that's only a certain Chalakim of Torah. But the Choshab is Kashrus, Tazan, Shvacha, Brachas, Yom Tif, and everything else, that women are Chayavos to learn, so you can't say Malam B'Tiflis, that's ridiculous. But obviously they have to learn. They have to learn that Chelet of Torah, so there's nothing wrong with them doing it, Chakir. The Smack is saying they're supposed to be doing it. So since there's a Chelet of Torah that they are really supposed to be learning, not because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the Beis HaLevi's whole Hanochi is that women have absolutely zero mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the whole reason why they're learning it is Al Techshe Mitzvah, and Hashem mitzvah itself really shouldn't warrant a bracha. So says the Beis HaLevi Nochinami, they're not chayavos to say Birchas HaTorah. Nobody ever meant to say they have to say Birchas HaTorah. That's not what the Ogre meant. That's not what the Beis HaSef meant. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say chayavos in Birchas HaTorah. The Shulchan Aruch says they are mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. They're allowed to say Birchas HaTorah. So it's the Smak that permits them to say Birchas HaTorah. Because the real heter of saying Birchas HaTorah is Rabbein Natan, that women could say brachas, but all mitzvahs that they volunteer. The objection was that it's a mitzvah that it carries with it something negative, something that we don't want to encourage them. So the Smack offsets that by saying that Ki'ilu Malam B'Tiflis is clearly not on all parts of Torah, that's only on the part that's not shaykh to them, the part that's shaykh to them. So of course they have to learn. They don't have to learn it out of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They have to learn an Alts Heksha Mitzvah. So that's enough of a justification to get them to be learning. It's enough of a reason for us to look positively on a woman who's learning Torah. So once we're looking positively on a woman who's learning Torah, so she can volunteer to make a bracha, the same way she volunteers to make a bracha on Lulav and Sukkah. So it comes out, according to this whole razzle-dazzle shot of the Beis HaLevi, that push comes to shove, at the end of the day, when a woman recites Birchas HaTorah, is she chayeves in Birchas HaTorah? Absolutely not. Because the mitzvah Talmud Torah itself, she does not have bichlal. The only thing that she does have is the hechsher mitzvah or shah mitzvahs, and the hechsher mitzvah doesn't warrant a bracha. So at the end of the day, according to the Beis HaLevi, when a woman recites Birchas HaTorah, it's a great thing, it's a wonderful thing, but she's not mechuyev. It's the Torah saying it's not a mechuyev to say Birchas HaTorah.
The bottom line, doesn't it not answer the question that
the problem with saying Birchas HaTorah was that they're not really chayav mitzvah in Talmud Torah. No, so he's saying that the Ogre meant to say that the saying of the Torah is the same way they make a bracha on Lulav and Sukkah. That's what the Ogre was driving at. That's what the Ogre at the beginning was for sure talking about. And then he rejects that by saying, no, it's not a good dinyan for Lulav and Sukkah because here there's an Isser involved, Ki'il Mulam L'Tiflus. And then the Ogre brings the Smack into picture. So the Beis HaLevi is learning from the Ogre that the Smack is not a new reason that the Ogre is giving. The Smack is just explaining why his original objection against the first reason was not really a good objection.
But the ability to say a bracha is based on the fact that
like Rabbeinu Tam,
they're shy to the mitzvah, the regular mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
No, he doesn't say that. He's saying that they're not shy, well, they have no shy, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yeah, but it's the same as Birchas HaLulav as HaLulav. So the same way they can volunteer to say the bracha on Lulav, so too they can volunteer to say the bracha on Torah. The only reason why the Smack came into the picture is to show you why it's a good thing that women should be learning. The same way it's a nice thing for women to shake a Lulav, it's a nice thing for women to sit in the Sukkah. If not for the Smack, then we would have looked negatively on women learning in general, and we wouldn't have encouraged them to make a bracha in order to learn that they're not supposed to be learning altogether.
So we're saying that there's still going to be a kiyum of the mitzvah on Torah.
Whatever the kiyum of Matilas Lulav is, no more, no less. The same,
but
that's
it wouldn't be, but it wouldn't be just a hashem mitzvah. You know, the kiyum might be because of the hashem mitzvah.
Right. I mean, is there a kiyum? Whatever kiyum they get in any other mitzvah that the pterus from. Right. Whatever, it's not going to be any more and any less. But the punchline of the Beis Halevi's pshat in this augur is that at the end of the day, when a woman recites Birchas HaTorah, she's not really chayevas to say Birchas HaTorah. It's only B'Torah's Eni Mitzvah V'Yosef, the same as the bracha before the mitzvah. So this Beis Halevi is very problematic. What's the Lefinia's deity, the biggest problem with Beis Halevi is what? Do I know? What do you think is the biggest problem with this Beis Halevi? He's trying to say pshat in who? In an augur who's quoted by who? By a Beis Yosef, which appears in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is the Pesek who says that women cannot volunteer to say brachas and mitzvahs, and mitzvahs that they're pturos from. So how can you can say this, if you want to say this pshat in a Rambam, you want to say this pshat in an augur, you can say whatever you want, but to say that this is the bottom line of the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, that this is what the Mechaber meant in the end of Sulim Mem Zayin, when he writes that Noshim Mevorkas Bichas HaTorah, that's B'Torah's Ein Mitzvah V'Yosef, very, very difficult to say that, because the Mechaber himself was the biggest opponent. He was the one who followed the Rambam, who says the women cannot volunteer to recite brachas. So in fact, that's what I mean when I said that the Bir Halacha, the Sibuch of this Beis HaLevi, the Bir Halacha learns what appears to be the Poshup Shan and the Shulchan Aruch, is that not only can women recite Birchas HaTorah, but women are supposed to be reciting Birchas HaTorah, and their chayavos to be reciting Birchas HaTorah. Why is that? Since their chayavos, because again, the reason that the Beis Yosef gave, the reason that the Ogre gave based on the Smach, since their chayavos to learn Hilchos Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taharos HaMishpachim, the chayavos to learn is given that are relevant for them, so that is considered to be a mitzvah top the Torah. Not just a mitzvah b'alma, not just a kiyuma mitzvah, but a mitzvah chiyuvis, that women are mamash chayavos to learn that chelik of Torah that's relevant for them. So since the chayavos b'Torah is mitzvah tam Torah, that mitzvah tam Torah is mechayiv b'birchas Torah. The same way that a man's chiyuv to learn maseches vachim is mechayiv b'birchas Torah, a woman's chiyuv to learn Hilchos Shabbos is mechayiv a b'birchas Torah. So when the Mechaber says noshim mevarchas b'birchas Torah, which is based on the Ogur, which the reason is based on the Snap, so that doesn't mean B'Torah's Ein Mitzvah V'Yosef. That means B'Torah's Mitzvah V'Yosef. How do I know that's what the Be'er Halacha holds? So the Be'er Halacha quotes from a Prima Batim that says that according to this Svara, what would the din be? Let's say you have a man and a woman together, and the man hasn't said Birchas HaTorah. He's not sure whether he said Birchas HaTorah, and he wants the woman to be Maitzim in Birchas HaTorah. Is that Shach? The woman be Maitzim in Birchas HaTorah. So we know the famous Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that in order to be Maitzim somebody else, you have to be a Mechuyev Gedol. You have to be somebody who has the same level or higher level of obligation that the other person has. If I'm a Potem in Adavar, so I can't be Maitzim somebody else. Let's say, for example, you have a man and a woman come and sit in the sukkah together, and the wife's going to make the relationship with sukkah. She's going to be married to the husband. So that's no good. Even according to the Ramon and the Nadal, it's no good, because the man is mechuyev in the bracha b'taras mitzvah b'yos. He has a real bona fide chiyuv to sit in the sukkah, so he's mechuyev to make the berachas mitzvah, whereas the woman, she's volunteering. It's very nice, she's volunteering to sit in the sukkah, but she's not mechuyev. So her bracha is only b'taras ein mitzvah b'yos. So of course she can't be motzi the husband in his bracha of leishiv b'sukkah. So what should the din be if a man and a woman are together and the woman wants to say the Birchas HaTorah on behalf of the man? So if you hold, like the Beis HaLevi, that the push comes to shove, the stating, the reciting of Birchas HaTorah by a woman is not B'Torah's Chiyuv, it's only B'Torah's Ptur, so it's not going to be any different than the case of the Bracha on the Sukkah, so that a woman cannot be Motzi a man. In fact, the Be'er Gvar writes like that. But the Be'er Halacha quotes the Prima Gavra, and he sounds a little bit like, at least he's presenting that as a viable Shita, that a woman really could be motzi a man. So to say that a woman could be motzi a man in Birchas HaTorah is clearly assuming that the woman is absolutely chayav in Birchas HaTorah. She's absolutely chayav in Birchas HaTorah. Well, the reason for that chiyav is most probably based on the smach. So you see that the smach's chiddush, that women are chayav, is to learn the dinim that are relevant for them. It's not just a hechshon mitzvah b'yam. It's not just to prepare them to do mitzvahs, but it's a real bona fide mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So that real bona fide mitzvah of Talmud Torah carries with it a chiyuv to say Birchas HaTorah. So that transforms the woman into being a mechuyav b'davar, and the male, she can be motzi the man. Yeah, the Brisker Rav is an entirely different picture over here. The Brisker Rav. Yeah. The Brisker Rav in Hilchos Chanukah quotes from Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim had a whole different understanding of what Brichas HaTorah is all about, and it also explains away why a woman can recite a Brichas HaTorah, why maybe she didn't even chayev a Brichas HaTorah. And Reb Chaim said that the bracha of the Brichas HaTorah is not so much a bracha on the Maisa HaMitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but rather, to quote the Reb Chaim, it's on the Cheftza of Torah, and the very essence of Torah. Again, whenever you're dealing with the word Cheftza, you're not dealing with something tangible, so you're already in the air. But Reb Chaim says that the Etzem Cheftza of Torah is Tom Bracha. That any time a person is involved in the learning of Torah, so the Limud HaTorah is a Mechai of a Bracha, not as Brichas HaMitzvah, not as the Mitzvah Stam HaTorah, just the very essence of Limud HaTorah is Mechaiva Bracha. So Reb Chaim said that's why women recite Brichas HaTorah. When a woman learns Torah, she may not be Mechaiva to learn Torah at all. Maybe held like his father, that she doesn't have a Chiyuv to learn Torah at all. But Alpha Bechay, it's called the Cheftz of Limud HaTorah. So even though it may not be the Maisa Mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, so the Cheftz of Limud HaTorah requires the Bracha, wants the Bracha. So she is Mechaiva B'davar. So it could be that according to Reb Chaim, who had a whole razzle-dazzle, new understanding of what Brichas HaTorah is all about, so Ken Zayin, a woman, can be Motzi a man in Brichas HaTorah. But the Beis Levi didn't say that. The Beis Levi was learning Pshat in the Agur, in the Beis Yosef, he was learning Pshat that she's Mamash Petura from Limud HaTorah, and she's Petura from Brichas HaTorah, and she's only doing your Petura's Eina Mitzvah B'Yosef. So it could be that Reb Chaim was bothered with this Kasha. That means he held like his father, he held like the Beis Levi, that a woman is Petura Lagam, right? So he was bothered with this kasha, but how can it be that she's Petura Lagamre? On the other hand, she's going to be Motzi a man. How can it be that the Mechaber himself quotes Moshe Rabbeinu's Brichas HaTorah? So it could be that was part of a prompted Reb Chaim to go up with his new understanding. But that's not what his father said. His father, at least in the Sefer, maybe his father said it about Ted another time, but in the Sefer Beis HaLevi, in Shuv Vav, Chalat Aleph Shuv Vav, so the Beis HaLevi is learning Pshat that it's the Torah's Enim Tzuv V'Yosef. So Reb Chaim and the Beis HaLevi are similar, but they both seem to be negating the mitzvah of Tam HaTorah that a woman has the Gamre, that even according to the Smach, it's not really a mitzvah of Tam HaTorah. The question is, where does that put us in terms of Birchas HaTorah? So the Beis HaLevi said, it puts us to being Petura from Birchas HaTorah, whereas Reb Chaim says, it puts us, she could still be Chayeves, but then you have to revamp what the mitzvah of what Birchas HaTorah is all about. But it appears that the simple pshat, like the Bir Aloch and the Prima Brodom, that according to the Smach, it's Mamash and Mitzvah Tam HaTorah, the Mitzvah Tam HaTorah warrants a Birchas HaTorah, and it will be Mamash B'Chayeves in this Brodom.
Is Lasuk more Mamash for the personal obligation? Nah.
You mean, one could have suggested, you know, this shaila about what Brichas HaTorah is all about. Is Brichas HaTorah a Brichas HaMitzvah, like a regular, plain, simple Brichas HaMitzvah? Or is Brichas HaTorah more like a Chayim, which is probably closer to the Brichas HaShavach type of a bracha? So one, a nice, cozy way of making everybody happy would have been to say, we have two different shaltim, we have two different brachas. So it must be the talk of both, right? That the bracha of Lasik with the very Sorah is more of a, is a more of the Maisa Mitzvah. And Ashabach HaBanu, which really doesn't sound too much Birchas HaMitzvah oriented, that sounds much more Birchas HaShavach oriented. So that would be nice. If you look at the Gemara, it doesn't exactly sound like it. You know, the Gemara Brachas, you know, presents the different options of the Brachas, and the Gemara says, well, we say all of them because, you know, make everybody happy. It doesn't sound like the Gemara that they're really two very fundamentally different Brachas. But it would have been nice to say that idea. I mean, you find that a little bit, you know, it's very, very often it's very difficult to put a finger on whether a particular bracha is a bracha mitzvah shef. We spoke a lot about this last year. The bracha of hachnisa, that's a very tricky bracha, but we say by bismila, hachnisa mevisa shalav mavinu. So some of the Rishonim said that the bracha is a shef, a haraya. You just said the bracha is a mitzvah. You said alam milos. What are you saying another bracha is a mitzvah for? And other Rishonim said, but if it's a bracha is a shef, but a very strange loshon, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisa b'zivanu, that doesn't sound very bracha is a shef oriented. So you have that also, because Eris and also you have the same problem. The chuppah says, "Asher kiddushanu mitzvayis zvanu arayas." So what is that? Is that brichas mitzvah? It sounds like brichas mitzvah because it starts with asher kiddushanu mitzvayis zvanu. On the other hand, it takes on a life in and of itself. It starts talking about how wonderful marriage is. It sounds brichas shevach oriented. So yeah, you have this problem by a lot of brachas. This is a common problem with brachas. We can't exactly put our finger on whether something is a brichas mitzvah or brichas shevach. So there seem to be really two totally different approaches between the base of Beis HaLevi and really Beis HaLevi and Reb Chaim on one hand, and against the Prima Golden, and the Avochah's idea on the other hand, as to how, what did the Smach mean exactly? Did the Smach mean that women are Chayavas, the Torah's Talmud Torah, as an independent mitzvah? Or did the Smach just mean that women are Chayavas, the Torah's Hakshah mitzvah, which wouldn't warrant a bracha? this idea that the Beis Halevi develops that there are really two different parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One, a woman is shayafas through, and one, she's not really shayafas through. So this is part of a whole theme that the Beis Halevi develops in other places also, which relates very much to the man's theme of Talmud Torah. The Beis Halevi has this, it's written up in a few different places. He has it in Chumash, the Beis Halevi ala Torah and Parshas Mishpatim. And he has in one of the Akdamas, I think, one of the Chalakim of the Chubas of Beis Halevi, he has it in a few different places. The following Yisod, it's very important, very basic Yisod, whether you accept the Beis Halevi's analysis vis-a-vis Noshim, it's questionable, but the Yisod in terms of Talmud Torah is a very important Yisod. Beis Halevi develops the idea that what he calls the mistaken approach to Talmud Torah and the correct approach to Talmud Torah. So the mistaken approach to Talmud Torah, he says, is those individuals who think that Talmud Torah is purely as a hashem mitzvah. People who have the attitude that the whole reason for learning Torah is purely to enable you to know the mitzvahs. Ad kan v'lo yosef, once you know the mitzvahs already, then you're home free. So he shows you why he thinks that's not correct. And he says he thinks that's what the Pshat of the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Gemara in Shabbos, when the Gemara says in the ninth parak of Shabbos, B'shar sheik dimu Yisrael, nasa lo nishma, the Klaisel said nasa before nishma, so not lo beiz ataras, beiz ksarim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu gave each of Klal Yisrael two crowns, one for nasa and one for nishma. So the lashon of the Gemara is a little bit strange. The Gemara doesn't say, B'shar she'omru Yisrael, nasa lo nishma, they got two ksarim, they got two crowns, one for nasa and nishma. The Gemara says, B'shar sheik dimu Yisrael, nasa lo nishma, they got two crowns. So the Beis Halevi's Medayek, you see from Chazal that it's the Hakdama that was good. That was the Gevalot thing. The fact that they said Nasa and Nishmot, that's very nice, and we're all proud of them. We get a pat on the back, we don't get a crown for that. You get a crown from B'shar Sheik, Dimu Yisrael Nasa and Nishmot. It was the Etzem Hakdama got them two crowns. He says the Beis Halevi, he's also the Beis Gevalot. He says, so if the crown is for the Hakdama, so they only did one after the Hakdama. They said Nasa before Nishmot, so they should only get one crown. If the crown is for the saying of Nasa and the saying of Nishma, then you get two crowns. But if the crown is for the Akdama, so you only did one nice Akdama. I'm juicing it up a little bit, making a little more labor. So the Beis Halevi says, Apchachach, you see from this Gemara, from this Diyah, the Lashon Chazal, you see that what Chazal meant is as follows, that in the Maisak, in the Hakdama of Nasa and the Nishma, there were two Milas, there were two good things about being mocked in Nasa and the Nishma. So one said the Beis Halevi was the same Nasa before Nishma, and the other was Memela, once you knocked him Nasa or Nishma, and Memela, because Acher Nishma to Nasa. Means the fact that you mocked him Nasa or Nishma, so that carries with it two milas. One is that you said Nasa before Nishma, the other is that you said Nishma even though you already said Nasa. So you have to explain away, so what's so devolved about that? So saying Nasa before Nishma, that's great. That way every Bavi Rav knows. And even though Paisel didn't really have the whole picture, still they had a Munir Shleim and a Varshalalam, so they jumped themselves into it even though they didn't really know what they were getting into. So that's Gevalmah. So that's the crown number one. That's the Mila of Nasa before Nishma. What's the Mila of Nishma post Nasa? So says the Beis Halevi, what he thinks it means is like this, that when you say Nasa, Paisel will makabal upon themselves to keep all the mitzvahs. So what does that mean? So that means obviously you were makabal to do the Nasa mitzvah. And included in that Kabbalah of Nasa was to learn all the dinim, to do the Hechsher Mitzvah. Why? The same way it's said for Gabi women, when you say Nasa, you get yourself into if you mechayiv yourself to do the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, so it's understood that not only you mechabal upon yourself to eat in the Sukkah on Sukkah's night, you mechabal upon yourself to build the Sukkah, and you mechabal upon yourself to learn Masach HaSukkah. Because if you don't know the dinim, how are you ever going to fulfill the mitzvah properly? So that was all included in the Kabbalah of Nasa. Nasa meant that a makabal the Nasa mitzvah, a makabal the Hechsher mitzvah, and a makabal the Limud HaTorah, that aspect of Limud HaTorah, which is a Hechsher mitzvah. So it could have stopped right there. Kabbalah's Torah could have stopped at that point. Klai Yisrael could have said Nasa and finished. So what did Klai Yisrael do? After they said Nasa, they went ahead and said Nishma also. So what does that mean? What was the Kabbalah of Nishma? Says the Beis Halevi, the Kabbalah of Nishma was that even though they know all the halacha l'maisa, even though they passed all the Mishnah Berurah b'chinas, they know everything, brachas and Shabbos and yadim and everything, Nishma, they're still going to learn those halachim of Torah which have nothing to do with Nasa anymore. There's a lot of Torah out there that's not part of Nasa. There's Zvachim and Menachas and there's Zroim and there's Tyros and there's so much Torah, and even in the Zman Shabbos Mikdash HaYakayim, there was so much Torah that wasn't l'maisa. The Gemara says that the Ben Sera Morav, Lahoya Vlomian, Baisa Menugalai Vlomian, Yerim Bachas Lahoya, and there are so many shahs that are never going to come up. Come on, we all know they're never going to really happen. So, says the Beis HaLevi, why do you have to learn those Chelkei Torah which are not relevant to Maizah? So, says the Beis HaLevi, that was the second Kabbalah, that was the Bechayiv of Mishma, that's what Klai Yisrael realized. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted of them, not only to be Mekabel Naaseh, which would have anyway been Mechayev them to learn Halacha L'Maaseh, Nishma is Mechayev them to learn even the past, which is not Halacha L'Maaseh. So the Beis HaLevi says, that was the double crown. Crown number one was for the Kedim Naaseh L'Nishma, the fact that they jumped into the water without learning how to swim, that's a Gevaldika thing. And number two, the fact that they were Ma'acher Nishma to Naaseh, even though they had already said Naaseh, they were still willing to say Nishma, that's also a Gevaldika thing. That's the Mofas of the Beis HaLevi for this Yisrael, that Talmud Torah is not just the Hechsher Mitzvah, that's women's Talmud Torah, but a man's Talmud Torah is this aspect of a mitzvah in and of itself. Then the Beis HaLevi goes on, and he says, going back to what he said concerning Birkas HaTorah, that it's only the second aspect of Talmud Torah that warrants Birkas HaTorah. The first part of Talmud Torah doesn't require a Birkas HaTorah. The same way you don't make any brachas on Machshir HaMitzvah. Before you build a sukkah, you don't make a bracha. Before you buy a lulav, before you make matzahs, you don't make any bracha. You only make a bracha before you do the mitzvah itself. So in Timtzal Loimer, that there would have only been the first aspect of Talmud Torah. So there wouldn't have been such a thing as Birkas HaTorah. The same way type of women don't have Birkas HaTorah, according to the Beis HaLevi. It's only the second aspect of Talmud Torah that introduces to us the concept of Birkas HaTorah. So now you could fulfill that second aspect of Talmud Torah even learning a Maisa. A person shouldn't think that sometimes people misquote this Beis HaLevi. They think the Beis HaLevi said you don't have to learn the Maisa, you just have to learn a Kachem. So that's not what the Beis HaLevi said. The Beis HaLevi just said that after you finish Archaim Yodech HaShemish Mirabinez, and then you can learn Kachem. He said after you finish all the parts of the Maisa, but at the same time, afterwards, it's a different question. But he never meant to say in a million years that you're not supposed to learn things L'maisa. He just meant to say that you shouldn't think that all of learning is just L'maisa. So says the Beis HaLevi, it's only the second aspect, the mitzvah between Atzma of Talmud Torah, that warrants a bracha. So he says that's where he thinks the Pshat of the Gemara Maseches Nedarim is. The famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Nedarim, where the Gemara says, Alma of the Ha'aretz, the Gemara spoke Pesukim in Navi Yirmiyahu, that everyone was wondering why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? What was the Golos? What was the Churban all about? Ma of the Ha'aretz. So the Gemara says that they asked the Malachim. They didn't know. Nobody knew what the answer was. And finally, they asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bayom Hashem, Al Ozva Mesterasi, because they left my Torah. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? They left my Torah. So it can't mean Kipshuto that they didn't keep any of the mitzvahs, because then it would have been obvious. Because it sounds from the Pesukim. And it was a chiddush that the Kadosh Baruch Hu said. No one knew the answer. No one could figure out why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself had to tell us how Ozma was Tarasi. So the Gemara says that Al Korachach there was something which was more subtle here. It wasn't a blatant not fulfilling of the mitzvahs. It wasn't a blatant leaving of the Torah. It was Ozma was Tarasi in a much more subtle way. What was it? Says the Gemara Shlo Bircha B'Tarat Chila. But they didn't recite Birchas HaTorah in the morning. That was the cause of the Churban. So Yishayim already pointed out, we have a lot of Gemaras that give different reasons for the Churban. Gemaras in the Tzia give different reasons, Gemaras give other reasons. So Zev Zegarim, there are a lot of reasons for the Churban. So one of the aspects, one of the reasons for the Churban the Gemara picks up on here in Nedarim is Allah's Ba Mestarasi, Shalom Birchah B'Tarat Chila. So Yishayim in the bottom, what do you mean Shalom Birchah B'Tarat Chila? That warrants a Churban. Birchas HaTorah, according to some Rishonim, is Deraisa, according to Rabban, it's Deraisa, according to Rambam, it's the Rabbanim. The whole thing, even if it's Deraisa, it's only Naseh. I mean, come on, that's going to cause the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean? So the Salevi says there must have been something much deeper here. There must have been something. Well, Birchas HaTorah Chila doesn't just mean that they came to davening late and they forgot to say Birchas HaTorah and then they forgot to say Iftar davening also. That's not what it means. Shabrich Matar Chila means that there was a certain shita, there was a certain mahalach in Klal Yisrael, not to say Birchas HaTorah. Why not? What do you mean not to say Birchas HaTorah? So says the Beis HaLevi that there was a mistaken notion of what Talmud Torah was. That they were learning a lot of Torah in Dais Rishon, but the understanding of Torah at that time was people thought that it's a Hechsher Mitzvah. People thought the men were the same as the women. They thought the same way the women only have to learn the Hechsher Mitzvah, so the men also only have to learn the Hechsher Mitzvah. So the sheep that didn't make Birchas HaTorah, they didn't understand, they didn't chop that there's a second aspect of Talmud Torah, that Talmud Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, and it's that part of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma that warrants a bracha. So shalom bircha b'tarat chino. So they held the shita. You would have asked them, why aren't you saying bircha b'tarat? They would have said, bircha b'tarat, that's a bracha b'talmud. We're not allowed to make a bircha b'tarat. That's like making a bircha b'tarat and building a sukkah. That's what the Gemara means in the Dorm, shalom bircha b'tarat chino. So what does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say about that? That's called the Nazivas HaTorah. That's called forsaking the Torah. Why? They're learning Torah. They're learning Masechet Shabbos. They're learning Mishnah Berurah. That's called the forsaking of the Torah, because the whole mindset of learning is just as a means to an end, not an end in and of itself. So that's also the Ged Nazivas HaTorah. That's such a Nazivas HaTorah. Can Mamish cause the Churban? You know? It's an unbelievable drush from the Beis Halevi. So again, whether you accept this drush in terms of the Nasav and Ishmael point, you accept this drush in the Gemara Nedarim, it's drush. It's very interesting and a very famous drush in the Beis Halevi. It's kedai to know. It's nice things to say in Shavuos time, but it's important about the halacha because it was the background of this Beis Halevi that created his ability to say pshat and women. It means his whole understanding of the fundamental difference between the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for men and for women was predicated on this notion that there are really two different reasons why we're learning. One is Hekshe Mitzvah, which is true, that's one aspect of Talmud Torah, but that's not the end of Talmud Torah for men. That's the end of Talmud Torah maybe for women, according to the Beis Halevi, but for men, that's only the beginning. For men, there's the second aspect. There's one last nekuda, this is close to the end of the drush of the Beis Halevi says. He says, based on this idea, you can understand another man of Chazal. The Gemara says, a very scary statement. The Gemara says that mipnei ma ein b'neim shal tamil chacham. Why is that? Sometimes you find that person is a big tamil chacham, and his son is not such a big tamil chacham. So why is that? How could that phenomenon be? That doesn't make any sense. The Chacham should go on the genes. It should go. The Torah should go to the next generation. So the Gemara says, why do you find this phenomena? Mipnei shalom bircha b'tarat chila. Because the parents, the father, didn't make birchas haTorah. Again, didn't make birchas haTorah. Therefore, the son is not a Talmid Chacham. What's the shaitas? And basically, he says it's the same point. He says, if a person doesn't say birchas haTorah, so that's indicative of the fact that he holds the sheep that the Talmid Torah is just a means to an end. So, infant alone, the Talmid Torah is a means to an end. Luyitzuya, that would be the case. That the women's Talmid Torah is the only Talmid Torah that really exists for men also. That you don't really have to learn Torah in and of itself. You have to learn Torah just to know how to pass from Shabbos, just how to know halacha l'maaseh. So then one could argue that I don't have to do that myself. I don't have to train my child to do that. There have to be X amount of rabbanim around the world. There have to be enough people who know how to answer Shabbos. So someone else will learn the Torah. So it's a mitzvah she'ashu l'kamei de'echeirim. That as long as there'll be enough knowledgeable people in Klal Yisrael, so we'll be able to get by. So a few people will write some article, kids halacha l'maaseh books. And a few rabbis are walking around with cell phones, and a few people email their shaylas, and whatever. Eventually, you know, all of Israel will be able to manage. So that's if Talmud Torah is such a mitzvah that it's just as a hechsher of other mitzvahs. So it need not doesn't behoove each individual to become a great Talmud Chacham. So that's the mistaken notion of the Talmud Chacham shel birch b'tarat chila. So his son doesn't become a Talmud Chacham because it's a shtickl midah k'neged midah. That he doesn't machshav, he doesn't understand the second aspect of Talmud Torah. He views Talmud Torah as an efshel lasas idea chayrim. So taka, the first aspect of the Talmud Torah is efshel lasas techayrim. You can have a higher, you get a rabbi, get a spoon on, and you'll be okay. So ein bun of Talmud Chacham, his son won't necessarily be a Talmud Chacham. But the person who is mevarach b'tarat chiyuv, the person who understands that Talmud Torah is an end in and of itself, that it's kehem chayne berech emenu as an independent, as something which is intrinsically chashuv. So such a person would never say that I'll let somebody else do it. If a person loves his child, so he wants to give his child the greatest thing in the world, so if Talmud Torah is the greatest thing in the world, so of course you want to give it to your child. So of course his son's going to become a Talmud Chacham. So it's this erroneous notion of Talmud Torah, Shlo Brich B'Torah Tchila, which is the Ozvam Es Tarasi of the Churban, and it's what can create this phenomena that Ein B'Neim Shal Talmid Chacham necessarily being Talmid Chacham. So again, it's all drush of the Beis Halevi. It's a very famous drush, an important drush, something to keep in mind. But the background of the halacha of this drush is this whole shtickl Torah in terms of the smach. But again, his conclusion that there are two parts of Talmud Torah, and a woman really only has one, and when the smach said that women are chayavos to learn their dinim, so the smach did not need to say it's part of Talmud Torah. He meant to say that it's a hefshe mitzvah. That nekuda is very questionable, because the pashas in the Shulchan Aruch is not like that. because unless you say like Reb Chaim that Birchas HaTorah is a different part of Lagamre, so the Pashas in the Shulchan Aruch is that women do recite Birchas HaTorah, the Chayavos to recite Birchas HaTorah, like the Be'alach and Kolos in the Hebrew Garden, they may even be able to be Melzi a man, because a woman has a real bona fide mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that intrinsic mitzvah of Talmud Torah, on that Chalik of Torah that's relevant from her, to herself. So tomorrow we'll try to finish up a little bit more about this aspect of Talmud Torah. Really.
Can you take shares?